Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Brazil's farmers are getting ready to plant a record soybean crop. The soybean planting window opens on September the 15th, but in many parts of Mato Grosso and western Paraná, the land generally remains too dry to plant after long, arid winter months. Light showers have fallen in these regions, but more consistent showers are only expected at the end of September in western Paraná and mid-October in Mato Grosso. On Monday, Solaris pegged the 2013-14 soybean acreage at 72.1 million and output at 85.5 million metric tons. Taiwanese flour and feed millers plan to buy 7.2 million metric tons of U.S. corn, wheat, and dried distillers' grains worth close to $4 billion over the next 2 years. Taiwan imports around 4.3 million tons of corn annually, and the U.S. had an 80% share of that purchase between 2007 and 9. However, as U.S. prices hit record highs in recent years due to weather, Taiwan turned to cheaper supplies from South America and Ukraine. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending September 5th. And, of course, that is the end of the year report as well for corn and soybeans. In millions of metric tons, USDA says that 20 million bushels of wheat were sold this year. For corn this year, it's 13.1, the new year. And for soybeans this year, the new year, it's 17.6, again, in millions of bushels. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,316, is down 14 points. The NASDAQ, 3,171, down 7.5. And the S&P 500 is 1,685. It is down 3.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
No dramatic changes have been suggested in the forecast for the Midwest over the coming week to 10 days relative to yesterday, but what that really will translate into is an opportunity for some relief in the driest areas in Iowa, northern Missouri, portions of Kansas and Nebraska, and over into Illinois. Southern Minnesota will also get involved with a little bit of rainfall. Now, I don't want to make this sound better than it really is. We'll see enough shower activity to bring some relief to the dryness, but we're not going to soak down the region in such a manner that there's no need for follow-up precipitation or to any degree that's great enough that crop conditions would turn around and all of a sudden get dramatically better. What we really think will happen is we'll get enough rain to stop the tailspin in the falling yield potentials for soybeans as well as sorghum and other late-season crops. Enough precipitation will fall in addition to cooler temperatures offering the greatest amount of relief here. We are going to get away from these 90-degree temperatures that have been plaguing the region for a while. And as evidence from earlier in the summer season, it's obvious that when the temperatures come down into the 70s and some lower 80s, if dry weather prevails, crops handle that so much better than they would with the temperatures in the 90s with no rain. So I do believe that this will be about the peak of the extreme stress that's going to occur across the crop region. We aren't necessarily going to fix the moisture deficit across the region in this pattern, though. And as we move out into the week next week, we'll likely encounter some drier weather again for a little while late in the week, but a good chance for a couple of cool fronts will come along between the 19th and the 26th of September, offering some additional opportunity for showers and thunderstorms to come and go. All the while, our temperatures will not get as hot as they have been. In fact, a big part of the Midwest here over the next 2 or 3 days are going to cool down quite a bit. In fact, so cool that we'll see some 50-degree highs in the Great Lakes region, and lows in the middle and upper 30s will likely occur as we go through the next couple of mornings across a part of the Great Lakes. And the impact from that is not going to be much greater than slowing down crop development, but we are expecting it to conserve moisture. When it does occur across the region, it will be much slower evaporating, and we'll expect to see a nice response from the crops, at least a little bit of relief to the stress that's been greatest for a while. Well, specifically, we expect to see the high temperatures across the Midwest today to run from 60s in Michigan and parts of Wisconsin and northern Illinois to readings in the 80s across the area from Kansas over to Ohio and portions of Kentucky. Some lower 90s may still occur in the southernmost parts of this region, but will be mostly confined to the lower Mississippi River Basin and the interior southeastern states. As we go into the day tomorrow, we'll expect the cooler air to overrun all of the Midwest. High temperatures will be limited to the upper 50s and 60s across the Great Lakes region. 70s will occur in the lower and western parts of the Midwest. And we'll look for the temperatures on Saturday afternoon to be upper 60s and 70s across most of the Midwest again. We may not see those temperatures change a great deal on Sunday or Monday, and it'll be sometime during the middle part of next week that we'll start warming back up again, but never back into the range of 90-degree readings we've seen this week. Our low temperatures at night are expected to become quite chilly. And like I said, tomorrow morning and Saturday morning, we'll see some upper 30 and 40-degree readings across the Great Lakes region. Lows tomorrow morning in the upper 30s will be mostly in northern eastern Minnesota, northern and central Wisconsin. And then on Saturday morning, they'll occur in northeastern portions of Indiana, northwestern Ohio, and the heart of Michigan, with a couple of extreme lows to around 35 or so. We'll look for the temperatures to rebound a little bit on Sunday and cool off again Monday and Tuesday of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat is 6.93 and three quarters, down one. Soft December wheat is 6.45 and three quarters, down two and a quarter. September corn is 4.81 and a quarter, up one and a half. December 4.70 and a quarter, down two and a quarter. September soybeans 13.90, down 15 and a quarter. November 13.47, down 11 and a quarter. September soybean meal 457.60, down 330. October 425.10, down 410. September soybean oil 42.70, up a nickel. October 42.68, down 4. October live cattle 125.47 and a half, up 42 and a half. September feeders 156.85, up 47 and a half. And October lean hogs are 89.95, down 35. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. We had export sales report, the last one actually of the year, but I suspect what people will do is they'll pick up the piece of paper, look at it, go, huh, and put it immediately in the outbox.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, we still have that little bit of window here between 7:30 when the numbers are out and when the market shuts down at 7:45, and boy, it sure didn't move the needle too much here. And there really wasn't anything too exciting to talk about anyway on the export sales. But, you know, market's still in kind of wait-and-see mode until 11 o'clock here today, so we'll see what happens. Although we are seeing beans weakening up here a little bit this morning here, Dave, partially a function of the fact that some cooler temperatures coming, better chances of rain, some rain around in parts of the Corn Belt overnight, and you know whether or not it helps beans, we'll see. But the market perception is that if there's rain falling around the Corn Belt, it'll help some of these later beans. So that's where we're seeing some things weaken up here ahead of 11 o'clock, Dave.
Well, I know if you do the math and look at fourth quarter disappearance of soybeans, you come up with some ridiculously low number left for ending stocks carrying forward, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 million bushels. USDA is not going to give us that. They'll give us something considerably larger than that, maybe 100. But at some point, you're going to look at new crop ending stocks, and if we're seeing something well under what the August number is, let's say they come with a trade estimate of 160, 165, somewhere in there, how bullish should we read that?
Well, I think it's going to be friendly, but I think the other thing we have to take into mind, too, is the world numbers, Dave, you know, world-ending stocks on the north side of 70 million metric tons does not argue for prices a lot higher than $14. I know we have to have that battle between domestic and world-ending stocks, but when you're talking about 160 million metric tons of production in South America this year, and if weather would cooperate down there, that's probably going to limit the upside a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have some volatility here moving forward, at least in the first half of the year. But that's something we got to kind of keep in mind here with these higher prices moving forward, Dave.
Well, and what about your thoughts on the corn, given the reports coming up?
Well, I think harvest is going to play more of a factor than what the report's going to say. I think yield, we're going to see some slight adjustment here this morning, but wouldn't look for any major surprises there. You know, 1.6, 1.7 carryout, whatever that number is still fairly comfortable. World-ending stocks fairly comfortable. I think seasonals point down until the end of September here, and with harvest going on, it's just going to be tough to rally this thing. I'm still looking for some range-bound trade in corn here over the next couple weeks, Dave.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Have a good day.
You too. Aaron Curtis of Mitco. He is in Bloomington, Illinois. Let's look at the current tick. September corn at 482 was up 2 1/4. December 470 and a quarter is down 2 1/4. September soybeans 1388 and a half down 16 3/4. November 1346 down 12 1/4. September soybean meal 457.60 down 330. October 424.80 down 440. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.